Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Ashwin. I'm joined by Varun. Varun, we are here recording on the back of yet another home series win for India over England. It's kind of crazy. We've been recording right after the test end. So it's been about 24 hours. So if you're tuning in live, you're probably already moved on to the next news cycle. I know you're watching Australia and New Zealand. I know I've been watching the WPL. But yeah, let's take a moment and talk about the phenomenal series win. First off, how are you doing? I know it's the middle of the night for DJ, so it's just you and me today. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really happy DJ is not on because I think he predicted 4-1. And I'm pretty sure that
you would have been gloating
about a lot about that. So I'm really happy DJ is not on today. But yeah, man, feeling good. It's, you know, it's that time of the year when your home series is done and you're guaranteed a win. And then you're gearing up into IPL season in like 10, 11 days' time. So this is just that kind of golden period where you kind of go home, tell your families that the next 2-3 months is going to be hard. And you're just setting up for like just the best cricket season ever. So yeah, it's great to come off a win. And clearly you can tell I'm excited about what's to come.
You are already excited about the IPL. I think next week's episode will be a full sort of IPL preview. So we'll get into that. And I'm like you. The news cycle moves so fast that I'm already thinking about all the things that are ahead. But it's important we take a minute. First off, you said something like you're guaranteed a win in the home series. No, but I think that tells you so much about how far India has come. I don't know if you read the stat that said we have just finally, over the course of India's history, hit a win-to-loss ratio in test cricket of 1-to-1, which means we've just finally won as many tests.
Yes, I heard about that from a different sort. Like, I had another friend send it to me.
Like, what a number, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, it's just never happened, right? Over time, it's been a ratio of 0.3, 0.4, and slowly, steadily increasing. But just take a minute to let that sink in. Oh, India has now won as many tests as we have lost. Whereas 30 years ago, that was probably half the ratio. I mean, what a journey this side has been on in the last, call it, decade. Of course, especially at home. But everyone wins outside too, right? It's been pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, because you remember, I don't have the stats in front of me, but even if you assume the number of tests played per year has gone up, the ratio of the home and away test should not have changed too much. So if you're at 0.3, 0.5, 0.6, it just shows how much you're winning at home and how much you're winning overseas. You always have these one or two series where you lose at home. I think England did it against us 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And so those kind of aberrations happen. But once you've cemented the home and then you start winning away, that's when you become a really great team, I feel.
Yeah, could not agree more. So big victory and a lot to unpack here because so much of the talk has been about baseball. Ultimately, 3-day test, innings defeat for Ben Stokes and the baseball tactics. And you know, one of the things I'll come to at the end, we'll talk about the test first, but a lot of change in the narrative suddenly. McCullum has come out today and said, we need to relook at this a little bit. Ben Stokes has said, listen, I don't bat anything away during a series, but now that this 2-month-long series is over, I can say we were outplayed. So we'll come to that again at the end after we've dissected the match. But what was your immediate reaction to that kind of change?
I think let's talk about it now. Firstly, baseball is a fun media term, okay? I genuinely think it's entertaining.
Sure.
They have come out to say that it's a brand of playing cricket, right? And I don't disagree with that. I think when it becomes stupid, that's when it becomes a problem. But if I dig deep and my memory isn't as good as DJ's, but if he was here, but I don't remember too many baseball-esque moments in the series, except for probably one where Joe Root got out trying to swing, right? It is, you have to make runs fast, and I do believe in that theory, but I don't think they lost this because of baseball. Let me just put it that way. Like, I think there was a lot more to it than just baseball, but I think the manner in which they lost in the last 4 tests, right? So just as a quick recap, they won by 28 runs in the first test. And we were all like, oh my God, there's no Kohli, there's no Pant, there's no Shami, there's no KL, there's no whatever, Jadeja's on and off. And we were like, this is going to be trouble. I mean, and then they came back and started kind of really steamrolling them. India won second test by 100, over 100 runs. Third test by over 400 runs.
That was amazing.
Fourth test by 5 wickets and the fifth test by an inning. So I don't, basically, long answer to your short question, I don't think there was a baseball involvement in this series as much as the media made it out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I probably have a slightly different approach. And DJ and I have talked this a lot on a couple of the episodes you missed. But really quickly, some of the frustration for me is the messaging and the narrative. And yes, there's the media side, but there's also the player side. There's like a completely unnecessary for Ben Duckett to say something like, Jaswal is batting fast probably because he learned something from us.
And did you see Rohit's response?
Yeah.
I don't think I discussed it last week, right? But because I think it happened after that. But
yeah,
he basically said, I don't think Ben Duckett has seen one guy in our team play. His name is Rishabh Pant, right? Like, yeah, you exactly. didn't invent this. You're trying to build a culture around it. I get that, but you didn't invent what this is.
And there's a couple of moments in that fifth match, which I think you're being generous by saying it was just that Joe Root reverse sweep, because Ollie Pope getting stumped, basically being halfway down the pitch, was a pretty kind of comical moment. But what am I going through the
fifth? But again, in that one, I'm not sure if it was baseball or if he just realized there's no other way for me to kind of play Kuldeep, right? Like, anyway, you can debate this till the cows come home.
The reason I think I have a if you're on YouTube, send us your comments. I'm curious to hear what people think, but I think that the reason it didn't help that Ben Stokes came out and said, what is the definition of baseball? It's trying to get better as a player over time. I was like, nobody had ever thought about trying to become a better cricketer over the course of time prior to McCullough. Like, what are you saying? It just makes no sense. So, anyway.
Fair.
Right. Enough about that. Let's talk about the test. We'll talk about the fifth test in Dharamshala. First off, Varun, have you ever seen a more beautiful cricket ground? I mean, maybe Mount Maunganui in New Zealand with the
mountains. I mean, DJ and I have been to Newlands in Cape Town.
Yeah,
that was nice. And that was close. But I do think Dharamshala. So, actually, yeah, three of us should make a pact to go to Dharamshala.
We definitely should, especially if you can get results like this there, right?
Yeah.
England wins the toss, something. Decides to bat first. I mean, logically the right decision. A lot of debate about three quicks potentially, and that becomes relevant as you see what actually happened. But, you know, India, there was some debate about three quicks. They stuck to their strategy, which was three spinners at home, basically for as long as I can remember. England ended up with the two quicks as well, Mark Wood and James Anderson. Not a bad start for England, as seems to have been the case, right? So as you think about how England has approached their innings, openers have done pretty well. So as you think about Crowley and Duckett put up 64 for one, 64 before Duckett gets out, basically then you think about going into lunch at about 100 odd, I think they were for one still, then that Ollie Pope insanity, that second wicket falling. And where did we go from there? Zach Crowley gets out, and then 175 for three. Bairstow's hitting at over a run a ball. By the way, Kuldeep has picked up all three wickets.
Yeah, I was going to say, basically, Kuldeep's introduction was the game changer, right? Because in India, like, I think we went about 18 to 20 overs without a wicket. And yeah. I was starting to worry a little bit. Because then when the pace of runs that they score at comes into play, I just worried that, you know, if this team gets 400 by 1.5 days, it's very hard to win that test.
Yep. Yeah, so unbelievable, by the way. Like, listen, we're talking about three quicks, and Kuldeep comes in, gets both openers, gets Ollie Pope, gets Johnny Bairstow at 175 for four, and then immediately in the next few balls, gets basically 175 for three, 183 for eight. I mean, just think about that. That was the turning point of the match, right? We talk a lot about how there are these short phases of play that are triggers, that are turning points in the match. And obviously, for me, 175 for three at lunch on day one, or close to tea on day one, you're feeling pretty great about it. And 183 for eight. Ash came in, cleaned up the tail. Brilliant, brilliant wicket of Jadeja to get Joe Root. Absolutely outstanding LBW. And 218 all out. I mean, Warren, just the sheer demoralization of being 175 for three and 218 all out, India had to be feeling pretty good, right?
Yeah, India had to be feeling on top. I think England probably lost the game there, right? Because at 175 for three, even at 175 for four, you are still very much in this game. It's a decent batting track. You know, you put up 300, 350, you're in the game now. I think that period of play where Bairstow, Root, and Stokes all went without scoring a run just kind of was, that was it, right? And to me, like, I don't know what's your opinion, but Stokes just hasn't got going. Did you know that there was a stat that I think said Stokes and Kuldeep have batted almost the same number of balls in this series?
That's a good stat. I hadn't seen that. But the stats I do have in front of me show Stokes batted 10 innings for 199 runs. Average of 19.9, right? Ben Folkes, who had an objectively horrendous series, averaged more than him by a little bit. And
because he also had one, I think, very good innings.
Sure. But objectively, nobody came. Like, and then Bairstow averaged 23. But I mean, Tom Hartley averaged 18.5. Like almost as good as Ben Stokes. So Ben Stokes has had an objectively horrendous series. Yes, he comes on. And this is part of what's frustrating about baseball media for me, which I won't get distracted by again, I promise. But comes on, gets Rohit Sharma out of his first ball. And now the exploding thing, well, if he could have bowled the whole series, whatever. It's like he couldn't. He picked him as a specialist batter. He hasn't bowled in tests forever.
And I don't know, my gut feel is that if he, especially since he's picked as a specialist batter, I feel he was batting too low. Because by the time, like, I don't know, when he was coming in, they were already in this momentum of losing wickets. He just couldn't settle. Obviously, Bumrah and Kuldeep just, and Ash just got the better of him. So there's nothing denying that. But somehow I just feel that he was batting too low for somebody who's playing as a batting specialist.
I think the only potential swap is with Bairstow. You move him up to five. You move Stokes up to five.
Yeah.
Push Bairstow down. But then you really do have to question Bairstow six, Folkes seven. I mean, I'm going to wrap up this with kind of marks for Team India. But if you're an English great podcast giving marks, you couldn't give good marks to Stokes, Folkes, or Bairstow.
Yeah.
And so that's just tough.
And sometimes you got to think if Bairstow, like, he's a good test player outside of India, right? Maybe you just should not have played him. Now, Harry Brook went home. Maybe he would have been the replacement. I don't think they had such a ready replacement for him.
Yeah.
But I would not play Bairstow if you can see that he's struggling.
Yeah. So let's wrap the test and then we'll talk kind of overall. But 218, by the way, first time in Dharamshala, all 10 wickets have been taken by spinners, which was completely counter to what you expected. And I didn't talk about it, but that opening spell from Bumrah and Siraj was actually exceptional.
Yeah.
Exceptional bowling. And the openers, full credit to the English openers, they managed to play it up. But then, of course, that's the beauty of this Indian team, right? Bumrah comes on, puts in a brilliant spell, and you think, all right, if I can just see him out, then Ash is coming on. The 100 tests, 500 wickets. And then Kuldeep, who's just had the series of his life. I mean, and then Jadeja comes right after and bowling consistent wicket to wicket. There's just no breaks, right, if you're the English batting.
Yeah, there isn't. And then it starts to question when you see 10 wickets by spinners, then you start to wonder, and again, we're not going to go back into this topic, but should Bumrah have been rested in the last game, right, which you guys have been rightly calling out? This is like a Pacers pitch, and they just kind of had a field day with the spinners. So, but one thing I do want to say is I feel like Siraj has had a really nice kind of five test match series. He's had to bowl 5-6 overs per inning. It's like a nice warm-up. You get to be in the action, in the dressing room with your mates. It's been a pretty good holiday for him.
Yeah, let me see. He bowled in five matches. Ash bowled 156 overs. Jadeja 146, Bumrah 103, Siraj bowled 67.
Exactly.
So Bumrah and Siraj both played four matches and one bowled 103 overs, one bowled 67.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a pretty good. I mean, I think he bowls more than this on off days, like non match days.
Just in practice.
So it was a pretty good rest for him.
Why not? It's good to tour the country, got to see the Dharamshala, etc. All right, let's talk about the response, right? So 218 all out. This is the first time in that I can remember all five batters crossed 50. Two of them crossed, all top five batters crossed 50. Two of them crossed 100. I mean, Jaiswal just rushed a blood to the head a little bit, to be honest, but it's 57 balls before he got out. Yeah, I mean, unfortunate.
It was just sad. He's a young man. He's going to have to learn. That was just not on, especially when you've had such a good series. And it's not about stats anymore. Like, he's done very well from a series perspective, but you got to just pile in the runs when you can, right? I think he's cemented his place, so there's no doubt. It's just about... Anyway, I don't want to fault him. He's done such a great job. It was just youth, man. I think it just comes down to that.
So let me just share this, because I was looking at numbers as we were preparing for the episode. Zach Crowley had a good series, made 407. Rohit made 400. Gill made 452. All good series. Good, decent totals for five-match series. Yashasvi Jaiswal, 712.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think he's beaten Kohli's record for the series at home.
Absolutely stellar. And he didn't even get the chance to bat in that second innings of the fifth because they didn't need it. I mean, just phenomenal. And then, yeah, full credit again to Rohit. Of course, it's bad luck from a media standpoint that he got out to Stokes' first ball, which was a peach, by the way.
What a delivery, man. Can you imagine if he bowled the whole series?
Stop it. I don't have the patience to deal with it. It's marathon for Shubman. Like, mixed, right? There was, well, the third test or so, he had a couple of good knocks, but there was still some discussion on, like, does he really belong?
So everyone I know was that he should be dropped. And
really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are telling me he should be dropped. He hasn't cemented his place. Exactly like you were saying. And I was obviously, you like, my personality says that when somebody says that, I tend to go the other way. And next year, I'm like, he's the future captain of India. How can you drop the future? So that was just a very bad response from my side. But maybe somewhere I believe it. But the point is, he is truly the all-format batsman, right? After Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma.
Yep.
He is the future leader. He has the technique. He scored the runs. He may not have done well. I'm agreeing with you. But then the thing is, between that criticism and the fifth test, what he's done to me is phenomenal. Like, I mean, that whole Rahul Dravid, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? He's taken a Pujara role. He's played with control. He's scored runs. Like, the last thing you want to do is also be playing 150 balls like Pujara and then scoring 30. You've actually scored 110. You've given the team that setup. So this guy is here to stay. He's the future. I think we need to just kind of invest in him and give him that security, right? I think talks about dropping him that don't make sense. It could have gone either way. I could have been sitting here saying I was wrong after the second test. I think, you know, Gill is a limited overs player. It's worked in my favor since I backed him, but he's the future.
Yeah, I mean, and did you see the abs shot, by the way? The torso topless picture that Gill
took on Insta? Dude, that was like proper thirsty, man.
All right, no comment. I mean, the last thing I'll say is...
Who was taking that picture? Was it Kishan or...?
Probably Shreyas and Kishan standing in the background with perfect lighting and making sure it helps. I mean, so the only thing I said that exactly mirrored what you said is, listen, you got to give guys a chance, is I would have loved to see Patidar get one more match. Now, I'm unbelievably chuffed for the end of this pedicle. Comes in at 4. Not an easy place to make a test debut, by the way. Very difficult pedicle. I mean, some of the greatest players to have ever played Indian batting for, and it's not an easy spot to come make your debut. Very few of them started there. But looked good, right? 65 runs from the particular fifth debutant in the series, by the way. Which is crazy. Definitely like, some sort of a
record. Reminding us of the GABA series.
Yeah.
No, it is. Look, he did well. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind about Rapa, Rajat Patidar yet. Like, sometimes when you're in bad form, like the shots, the way he got out was just atrocious. I've never seen anything like that. Like, back to back, right?
Yeah.
So I sometimes the break may not have been bad because I think he's just doing himself harm. He stopped here. He can go back, rethink, get a 1,000-run Ranji season and come back. Like, I don't see him coming back in a rush, but he could. So I don't think the break was bad. But yes, it's harsh on him. But kudos to Padikkal, man. Stepped up, made the runs. He didn't look that great at the start. Kind of like what Sarfaraz was like at his first few balls.
Yep.
In test cricket, but then you just, the nerves settle, you trust your stroke play, you trust your defense, and you just get moving from there. So I've been really happy to see Padikkal. I've been really happy to see Sarfaraz as well. You know, Sarfaraz didn't get a big 100 in this series, but I think he got multiple 50s and more than two, in fact. I think every game he played, he hit a 50.
Yeah, and he averaged, and including two and one, and he averaged 50 at the end of the series, right? I think 200 runs in five innings, average of 50. Strike rate of 79, which is, along with Jaiswal, better than a lot of the English batters. So for all the baseball talk, you have Jaiswal and Sarfaraz striking at a faster strike rate, which was great to see too. So,
yeah.
Right, so as the inning wrapped, unfortunately, Jurel couldn't do too much. I do want to talk a little bit about the, where were they, 427 for six, and Jurel got out, then Jadeja and Ash got out very, very quickly. And there's something to be said for your number 9 and 10, putting on more than 50 runs, but more than that, actually surviving more than, you know, 25 odd overs. That says a lot, right? That is a really, really difficult thing to do. So
and that's what a lot of people were discussing, that, you know, there's both these guys, right? So Bumrah first, I think Bumrah's average is only 10 or 12 or something like that in test cricket, at least before this 30. And when you
7.32.
currently, right?
Yeah, as of the playing time.
So I think it was almost like, it was like four previously and then 12 after that, right? Because there's been a stark difference in the last 4 years versus what he was. And remember, Bumrah is a guy who should be not out a lot of the time, right? So his average should not be seven.
Yeah, can we get an 11 if I'm getting
just based on playing the numbers here.
Yeah.
But I think full credit to him. And then Kuldeep, man, like to play 70 balls is just something else. And I think even Harsha Bhogle asked him at the end of the match when he got the Player of the Match award that you got to talk about your batting. And he just said, look, I've worked on it. I give a lot of credit to the batting coach. And it's such an asset, right? Because your young guys, like, can you imagine if Dhruv Jurel and all didn't have a Kuldeep to help them? He wouldn't have been the success story that he would have, right? So it's important. The guy who disappointed me was Ashwin. I don't know what he did. I think he was just determined to not bat this series.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall fantastic.
Yeah, so full credit. I mean, 258-odd run lead. Why don't we take a very quick break? We'll come back, talk the England innings, and then talk kind of marks out of the 10th of the players. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. If you haven't done it yet, hit the like button on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and send us in your questions, etc. We're at One Tip, One Hand on all social media. Varun, I was messaging you at this point, 258 on lead. I was like, listen, the track seems like it's gotten better. We were joking about it. And I was like, what are the chances? What happens if this match actually ends today? Because we were trying to schedule recording of this podcast, and could we go live up to the match? And you're like, listen, don't write it off. It's technically possible. And of course, we now know that that's what happened. So I didn't get to watch that innings in real time. I've only since watched the highlights. You want to walk me through kind of what happened? You're chasing 258 at the very least from a psychological standpoint. Even if you think the game is beyond you, you want to try to make that the other team bet again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely do. I think it's also the last innings from their perspective of the last test. I don't know whether you're thinking that much about putting India in again. Look, you called it a few tests ago. You said Rohit is opening with Siraj and Bumrah, but he's leaving out India's best new ball bowler. And I was just stumped. I'm like, who the hell are you talking about? And it was Ravichandran Ashwin, right? Of course. I don't know how I didn't get that. But he cleaned up Crawley, Duckett, and Pope. And it just kind of, it just fell after that. The thing with England in this series is that if you get the openers cheaply, I think you're really in for a shot.
Openers right? have been good,
They've been good. And again, credit to McCullum or Stokes for just backing them, because both these guys sucked as well. They did really badly and then they've done really well. So kudos to them for that. But yeah, they lost their wicket in the second over, in the sixth over, and before the 10th over, they had 36 for three. And that's when you knew that this is kind of done, right? That's when I also sat down. I said, okay, now I'm going to really focus and watch this, because I think we're just going to steamroll them. And that's kind of what happened after that.
Yeah, super interesting. I mean, it just blows my mind as to what happened in that innings. But let's talk a little bit about Ash. You mentioned, right, 100th test match. By the way, Bairstow, it's amazing that Bairstow, Ash, and then I think in the same week, Williamson and Saudi and the other corners of the world all played their 100th test. I mean, aside from me being a little harsh or mean and saying, I don't think Bairstow belongs in that company, what a great kind of accomplishment, right? And also 500 wickets. Did you see that moment as they were walking off after the first innings where Kuldeep had a 5-4, Ash had 4-4, but it was a milestone test for him, and Kuldeep gave him the ball? And Ash threw it back to him and said, no, you couldn't hear it. But he basically said something to the effect of, this is yours. You got 5 wickets. He made Kuldeep lead him off. There was just some magic about that moment between a junior spinner and a senior spinner. And also Ash probably being like, listen, I have 35 5-4s. I got too many of these match balls sitting in my house probably, right? But yeah.
Interesting you mentioned that, because the same thing happened in the England innings, where I think James Anderson picked up his 700th wicket.
Yeah.
But I also think Shoaib Bashir had picked up 5.
Yeah, you're right.
And James Anderson was emotional about picking up 700, and he was leading the team off, and suddenly he stopped and he realized, no, wait a minute, this guy's picked up five. So he told him to come ahead, the kind of hug. So it's great to see, imagine seeing that on both sides, right, within the same test. So that was quite amazing to see.
Incredible. And yeah, Ash ended up picking up five. I mean, honestly, not a lot to say. A little bit of a fight from Root to get 84. So nice to see that he does still have that ability that made him one of the greatest, that makes him one of the greatest batters of all time. But really, nothing much else to write about. Bumrah came in to clean up the tail. Kuldeep picked up a couple again. And the match was done in 3 days. I mean, innings and 64 runs. Kuldeep picks up man of the match or player of the match. Jaiswal picks up player of the series. And India wraps up a phenomenal series, 4-1, as England probably goes home and has a lot to think about and a lot to work on. So, Varun, let me first ask you then about the World Test Championship standings. So, aside from the fact that the overrate points have made England's net, I think they got 19 deductions, so then their net points are only 21, so they're not second from the bottom. But
I didn't know about that. So they got deductions for overrate. I mean, even India got it earlier, but this one seems to be more.
Yeah, India's total deductions are 2 points. Australia's had 10 points, and England's had 19 deducted. So a lot of deductions, right? Yeah, I mean, India's sitting pretty good at the top. I mean, as we record this or as we're live on YouTube, Australia is playing New Zealand, and what happens in that match will dictate who's second. But it's looking
as like we're speaking, Australia. It's like 23 to win with 3 wickets and Cummins and Carey. Like, this Australian team is something else right now.
It's going to be great. And but yeah, so you want to run us through the points table? I don't know if you have that, I have it open, but India obviously nicely at the top.
Yeah, so India is number one at 68. Let's go by percent, right? 68.5% of points won. And just before I go on, this is what we've all been... Look, this test championship was new to a lot of us, right? Now we're in the third cycle. Many of us have kind of figured that India has a high chance of being one or two every time, right? Because of what we spoke about. You're winning at home and then you're winning the off test overseas. So it's not like you're getting extra points for series. So if India goes to Australia and loses 2-1 or goes to England and loses 2-1, it's still the point deficit is not as much as one would think. So there's a high chance. And I just think India needs to start prepping because they have another home series to go next year. And they have an Australia series where we've typically done well. So I think India is going to be top two. They need to start thinking about that World Test Championship final. Anyway, too far ahead. But right now, as it stands, New Zealand is second. Australia is third. I think that will flip. And then Bangladesh is actually fourth. Pakistan fifth, and then the list goes on. So it's an interesting fight because I think for New Zealand, I think the scary thing is that if you're not going to be winning at home and then you have to travel to the subcontinent to play some of your away games, it's going to be hard. So currently, the way it's looking, I think it's India, Australia. But again, guys, it's a year and a half away. So obviously, us calling it makes no sense right now.
Too many India, Australia finals and too many heartbreaks. But yeah, Bangladesh.
By the way, Travis Head has done nothing since November 19th.
Yeah, and he won't until next time to come and crush India again.
Until next June.
Yeah.
Well, it's half India, Australia final.
So Bangladesh, which is interesting, is at fourth, but because they've played two matches. They won one, they lost one, so they're 50%, which is better than a lot of teams.
But Did you see the picture? There was a picture of the Sri Lankan team circulating after they won some series against Bangladesh. And it's great because everyone is standing there pointing at their watch, like for the timed out. And the whole picture is just that. So,
There's just been so much happening, so much drama in the world of cricket. Warren, I want to quickly wrap up the India-England series. So good World Test Championship table. Kind of just hit me with your highlights and things you wish India from an Indian team perspective. And maybe we'll go by players, right? So some of them won't be surprises. But who were the kind of standout players for you that you were most excited about? And then who do you think left a little bit to be desired from this Indian side?
So I guess for me, it's let's just quickly run down that order, right? For me, it's Jaiswal cemented his place, played beautifully.
Incredible.
A lot of us saw him as an explosive limited overs batsman, but he's come in and showed that he's test. So, you know, we needed that lefty. We needed a solid batsman. We need somebody who can kind of play all formats. So I'm very excited about him. I think as much as I'm also done with Rohit, I also have to say he said it himself. He's playing his best cricket in the last 2-3 years, and he's done well. When Rohit Sharma hits a test 100, the team wins always. So I think he did well. Gill's resurgence was nice. Sarfraz was an emotional moment. I don't know if Sarfraz is going to continue as part of this team once Kohli, Rahul, and Pant return. But he'll always have this, right? That angst of not getting there and then getting there and making his mark. So, you know, he'll be there. I think what was a little disappointing for me is obviously Rajat Patidar. I think Jadeja's batting and Ashwin's batting. To me, this series was something you expect and it didn't happen. And as a result, it gave people like Dhruv Jurel a chance to shine. So he's the other big find for me. Actually, the more I'm saying it, I think every player has been great. But
every day
but Jurel was really fantastic, man. Because I personally don't think international cricket has place for somebody like KS Bharat as much as of a great keeper as he is. I don't think international cricket is. I mean, as we're talking, Alex Carey is on 87 and about to win Australia the game, right? You got to think about players as keepers who can do that, batting at 6, 7 or 8. And Bharat just couldn't. So Jurel, I don't think Pant is going to get back to keeping.
So let me ask you that question, right? The NCAA has declared Pant is fit now. Obviously, that's not for test cricket, it's for the IPL. And then Delhi has sort of indicated, I don't know if that will change, but thus far indicated, he's going to play as a batter and a captain, but not
keep.
Let's say Pant's back at full fitness in 3 to 4 months. Who do you play? It's a really tough decision, right?
I mean, look, I think you got to play. If Pant is fully fit, you got to play Pant in tests. Yeah. I think he deserves that. Now, if he plays 3 matches badly, he plays 3 matches badly. But I think he deserves that. So you're not going to have Dhruv Jurel knocking over a Pant. But what happens is that if Pant was to replace like a Sarfaraz and Kohli was to replace a Padikkal or Rajat Patidar, you still might have place for Dhruv Jurel, right? If you're playing Jadeja. And so it's not over and out for him. I think it's just the start. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see Pant and Jurel both playing.
Yeah, so you said things that you want to see a little bit better. Ash and Jadeja's batting, which I think has been a differentiator for us for many, many, many years now. You know, at least in the latter part of the series, left a little to be desired. The only other thing I would flag is, to me, I think there's now become a big cloud on the role and the certainty, if you will, on Akshar Patel, right? A couple of years ago, he sort of walked into the side. Now you sit here thinking, as brilliant as the positive is for Kuldeep, as brilliant as it is, he's that guy you can't help but be chuffed for, so happy for the journey. What does it mean for Akshar Patel as you look at it here?
I think Akshar Patel will always be in the mix. Like I've said, anyone who's like an all-rounder always has a higher chance of being in the squad, in the team. I think so long as Jadeja is there, he's always going to be number two, especially with Kuldeep's resurgence. I think Washington Sundar hasn't come up to where we were expecting, and so he's ahead of Washington Sundar. So you're kind of, if I'm Akshar Patel, I'm kind of have to be okay with the fact that this is where I stand between these two guys. I'm going to play a lot of cricket because there is a lot of Indian cricket where Jadeja doesn't need to play. And so you kind of have to be ready for that opportunity. And tomorrow, if something happens, you are the number one spinning all-rounder after Jadeja. So you will get enough chances. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, that's fair. Overall, after a tough first loss, you talked about the comeback, right? And the response from not only the tough first loss, but actually being in a commanding position in the first test and then losing it and then bouncing back. Full marks to the boys. It's amazing how immediately we pivot to IPL mode. But just take a second and say unbelievable. Like, congratulations to Rohit and the boys. Great marks. I think I'll wrap by kind of asking my most important question is, have you seen the Instagram picture that Rohit posted about with the youngsters and captioned it, Garden in the Ghumna Valley? Did you see that? And do you remember the context of that one?
I don't remember the context. I saw it, but I don't remember the context. And I've been thinking, what the hell does this mean? But I haven't had time to think about it for more than 5 seconds.
All right. Well, if you're on YouTube, you can give Varun a hard time for not remembering this. But Rohit sort of went a little bit viral not long ago when he was caught on a stump mic saying, "Koi bhi garden mein ghumega to maa blank dunga."
Yeah, got it.
It was just great because those were the guys he was referencing about, listen, it's not a day. Not a day to dawdle and like walk in the park. But it was great. So listen, it seems like there's great camaraderie in the side, right? You can say whatever you want about the first match and some of the noise that comes out of dressing room and stuff. But it seems like right now this team has a great kind of energy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think Rohit also I feel for the first time, without Kohli being there, maybe Rohit had his chance to wrap his arms around this team the way he wanted to. And not to say that he can't do it with Kohli there. It's just that it's different, right? It's not bad. It's better when Kohli is there. But sometimes you've got to appreciate what it is for the current situation. So okay. I think Rohit has also done a great job. And I'm really glad that both Rohit and Rahul continued post-World Cup, because all of us were a little bit uncertain. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then last question I'll ask you about this. If you're Ben Stokes, what do you do differently? You sit here saying Bashir, Hartley were pretty good spots. You see Anderson got to pick up 700 wicket. You had a couple, your openers, to your point, had a great series, but then you had a lot of weaknesses. You just sort of dusted off and said, listen, winning in India is really, really hard, and nobody's really done it in the last 17 series. Or do you go and make some drastic changes?
It's a great question. I don't have a straight answer to that. I don't think I would make drastic changes, right? If you had seen that, you know, 8 out of the last 17 series had been won by teams coming to India, I think there's a lot more questions to be asked. I think this team does well. I think the broader issue for this team is, with their whole change of approach, why are they not coming and kind of banging on the top two in the World Test Championship? So I don't think the India thing is going to force them to rethink. I think it's going to be the broader play, because I don't think they're winning as much as they should at home. I don't think they're winning as much as they should in Australia or South Africa or New Zealand or anywhere else for that matter. So I think changes are needed, but I don't think as drastic as we're probably suggesting.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, memories don't last forever. I think they were in England will move on. And, yeah, I mean, all one good Ashes series is all it takes to undo, or one phenomenal Ben Stokes knock is all it takes to undo the harsh memories. But for now, great win by Team India. But I know we have to wrap pretty soon. I will take 2 minutes and quickly just do a rundown of everything that's happening back in the extreme opposite format in the Women's Premier League that has been going on. I mean, an absolutely magnificent tournament. We won't get time to do it justice today, but as of this morning, both the Delhi Capitals and the Mumbai Indians have now officially qualified for the playoffs. Delhi sitting at the top of the table, not something we get to say often with the men's side, so I'm going to enjoy it and embrace it, with both 5 wins out of 7 matches and one absolutely unbelievable kind of heartbreak loss to the UP Warriors by 1 run, which should have absolutely been a winning game. But then on the flip side, a little bit of a heartbreak loss for the RCB women's team earlier today, and again at the time of recording this, with 181 runs on the board and RCB chasing it down, and Richa Ghosh played a magnificent knock and just fell 1 run short. So disappointing when you see that happen, but just the magic of Premier League cricket. I also have to share a little bit about how incredible Mumbai Indians have been in general. Like, just Harman, I think, made 98 of 49 balls. Like, just some absolutely brilliant knocks. So it's been a great tournament. I mean, when we come back next week to talk about the IPL, and we'll do our IPL preview, we'll do a WPL review, if you will, because we'll have had the final by then. We're 1 week out from the final. But yeah, absolutely incredible. Nice to see Delhi and Mumbai already qualified through, and then a pretty decent race as I look at the points table between Bangalore and UP for third and fourth spot, as Gujarat, I think, is probably mathematically eliminated, which is disappointing to see. I mean, yeah, just great to see the game, and hopefully more expansion, more teams next year, so you can have continued more competitive round group stage games. Varun, last thing I'll say about the IPL, KKR was in the news, Jason Roy is out for the third time, I think, in 5 years, and Phil Salt, former Delhi player, is in. Any thoughts on that, or have you already started thinking about IPL mode in a big way?
I mean, I'm already in IPL mode, but yeah, I just can't believe we let this guy Salt go, because he didn't do a bad job and he's been doing a great job. So for all the DC fans, don't get your hopes up this year. I think we have got a very substandard team, but you never know, and we've got a great preview that planned. So we're going to run through kind of all the teams. So excited now for the IPL.
Yeah, always time to pivot. This has been the Edison Flint's Cricket Podcast. Warren, fun to relive a test series. I'm disappointed test cricket is over, but like you said, immediately ready for the next thing, which is going to be the best time of the year. Send us a message at One Tip One Hand on all the social medias. If you watch this on YouTube, hit that like button, the subscribe button. leave us a comment. We try to read and respond to as many of them as we can, so it's always fun. And thank you for tuning in and reliving the incredible 5-match test series with India winning 4-1 over England. We'll be back next week to do an IPL preview. This has been the Edges and Sledge Screen Podcast, signing off.